Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B. This is The Truth Zone, coming to you live on this TGIF. And for me personally, it's a big time TGIF because fortunately, unfortunately, a dark chapter, if you want to call it that, is closing, which an anchor is going to be taken off of me, and I'll be able to do what I really want to do, and that's help people understand that the one true faith is the Christian faith based on the scriptures. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that fundamental Christianity is way different than the religious establishment has given all of us. And, you know, I was at Bible study the other night, and we were talking about different denominations. And then our pastor gave us a brief history of how all of these different denominations came to be. And he mentioned that Constantine legalized Christianity in the Roman Empire, but he left out a very important key. That key was that the Roman Empire was the brink of a civilian war. And I say that better than the term that's thrown around, civil war. It was going to be a civilian war between the pagans and the Christians. Now, the Christians at that time, I'm not sure if they were battle ready yet. You know, we didn't talk about, history tells us about the Christian persecution and fed to the lions and crucified, and there's no record of militarized style retaliation by the Christians. Christians were martyred, but they kept on growing. But coming into the 4th century, I don't know if the Bishop of Rome, later to be called the Pope, had a Christian army or not. So you would think then that maybe Constantine would have had to send in the Roman soldiers to restore peace. So what Constantine did, and he was a visionary, he realized to save the empire, he had to please both sides, and there was a compromise. Sol Invictus and Mithraism refused with Christianity, giving you a hybrid of a pagan Christian establishment. And at that time, they had a monopoly. The Church of Rome was it. Yes, of course, they were in Antioch and all the other cities, but they got the orders. The hub was Rome. There were no Protestants, Presbyterians, and all that other stuff. It was a monopoly. And temptation comes in. You're given power. Allegedly, Constantine wrote a will giving the Catholic Church emporal authority. Thus, we have the divine right of kings. And I'm bringing this up because, you know, it's in vogue, and some of it is proper to criticize Christianity, but the faith shouldn't be criticized. The establishment, rightfully so, should be criticized. And this is something that I want to share. Of course, I'm still going to have a secular job, so I won't be able to do this full time. But the anchor, excuse me, that is coming off my personal life will open that door to where I can go for a pastor certificate, have credibility with people, and I want to go into that, and I want to help people. I've always had that urge, but now it's the strongest it's ever been. And the shackles, you see, folks, I'm censored in my own home. Censored. Because I live with someone that, I'm just going to say it, is a New Age psychic, transhumanist, and has mocked my faith. Oh, she'll deny it, but it's true. And it has reached a crescendo where it's time to move on. So, and this blew up for the last time last night, and I'm glad it did. It's a relief. I almost left in June, and she asked me to stay, and to my chagrin, I agreed. I should have kept going. Because, quite frankly, I've lost at least 2 months, and I'll lose more because we have to sell the house. We just have to. And I'm not going to go into her personal ordeals. It's not right of me, but the house has to be sold or it's going to be foreclosed. And I share that with you. I'm an open book because I made, again, the crucial mistake of relying on my judgment, on my infatuations, and I went against Scripture. What was I doing getting involved with a sorceress? What was I doing? I had an entanglement with one several years ago. And that's going to have lifelong consequences. And it doesn't matter what it is. But it will have a lifelong effect. And then here I am once again. And it's funny, because I thought about it. When we met, and she handed me her business card, and it said psychic on it, for a split second, there was a pause. Like, I should have ran. Instead, I said something cute, like, gee, I guess our meeting was written in the stars. Do you see what I said there? What does the Bible say about basically idolizing stars and planets and building your life around that. It's an abomination. And here I am, 3.5 years later, and I'm in the whirlwind of an abomination. You see, you can't fight it, folks. You just can't. Now, do some people dance through the raindrops and do everything opposite and they work out? Yeah, but you have to have... excuse me. You have to have two, may I say, chaotic individuals, and then, but really, right, two negatives repel, two positive repels, and that could be even more disastrous, but it can work out if they're of the same mindset. But you see, I asked for this ending. I asked for it. I went against the scriptures. And once again, I'm paying the price. I just thank God I didn't have any children with her. Thank God I'm 52 and she's 47 and we can just part company and be done. But I asked for this. I brought this on me. You see, and as I said during the week and at other times, God doesn't smite us, excuse me, the allergies, and they'll go away when I'm out of here. And I know it's stress too. God doesn't spite us from heaven. God doesn't punish us. He doesn't send an angel to zap us. He doesn't manipulate events to punish us. We do that. We either set ourselves up for success or we set ourselves up for failure. And just in my personal life, over and over again, when I go against Scripture, the results are not positive. When I stay in line with Scripture, more often than not, you see, there's no such thing as every time. And again, maybe for some. I mean, look, some people, whether they're a believer or an atheist, some people, yes, have all the successes, have a seamless life. And what I mean by that is not so much monetarily, because that doesn't count. I'm talking about psychologically and emotionally. Yes, they can have seamless lives, just like believers can still have a disastrous earthly life. But a lot of them will still, though, be happy spiritually and psychologically. More often than not, you go against the scriptures, and especially when you have knowledge of them, and you go against them, you suffer torment. And it's just natural law. Excuse me. It's an inevitability. You can't really expect different results when you do the same things over and over again. So, is Michael B. insane in a certain department? Yes. Yes. And people that know me or knew me, they're correct. I have a weakness, not just for women, but for broken women. I have an attraction to women who have been abandoned by their fathers and carry resentment, and then I become the target. That's my issue. That is something I have to clean up. And perhaps it's low self-esteem. Maybe on some level, I believe I'm not good enough to have a good, loving, and stable woman. Hence, I'm not attracted. When I met this woman that I'm living with, my so-called wife, I was dating two women. And I let them go. Probably should have stayed with those two. And hindsight is 20/20. And saw where that went. But I didn't. So, it's lesson learned. And I just urge people, like it says in the Bible, rely on God's word and wisdom, not on your own. And so, I know that it is my calling to attempt to spread the faith, not the religion, and to show people what the Bible really says and not have it skewed and twisted by leaders. And the other night, excuse me, I gave my pastor a book, The Shocking Truth About the Bible by James Kovacs. I read it twice. It's going to challenge beliefs. It's going to challenge the paganism that's in Christians. I mean, believers, and I'm guilty of it. I'm not doing it anymore, and I got to give the Jehovah Witnesses credit on that. They get it. I mean, they have Christmas trees and ornaments and mistletoe and all of these are pagan rituals, and Easter, coloring eggs and bunnies, that's all paganism. And it was infused into Catholicism, into Christendom, and so many people are unaware. And I really think that it is my calling to raise awareness. And so I wanted to share that. So now I'm going to get into the conclusion of this Muslim migration. This is written by Ian Tuttle, the National Review. And the date was 2015. As I said yesterday, I love using articles from a couple of years ago because they really foreshadow into what's happening in, what are we, two-thirds now? Almost two-thirds done with 2017. So it's a great foreshadowing. I love that because these writers knew what was going on and what was coming, and it's never mainstream. Never. You're not going to find this stuff on Fox and MSNBC, CNN. They want to cover Russiagate. They want to cover North Korea and China. We get blurbs about Muslim terrorism. if it's Paris, England, or Germany, we get Fox alerts about terrorism. But you don't get that from the Philippines, from Iraq, Iran, Somalia, Egypt, the Sudan. I've read you And I'm going to go back to that sometime next week. The roll call, if you will, of daily terrorism. You don't get that in the mainstream media. Because you know the game is rigged. They don't want us knowing about that because it will cause such an uproar in this country that we're already at you could say, code red on this. We already want strong action. We're already frustrated with federal court judges. But you start giving people in the masses daily doses of jihadist terrorism every single day around the world, ladies and gentlemen, and then you do a show like mine showing you the population shift and how certain populations are drastically dwindling and how some are exploding and that they're being moved to the manipulated, dwindling populations, you better believe we're going to go to red alert. But they don't want it. They don't want you to know that. Let me just explain. We're not going to have a nuclear war with North Korea. It's not going to happen. Only one time was a nuclear weapon used from one country to another. And that was when the United States, under 33rd degree Mason, Harry Truman, nuked the Japanese Empire because nobody in the world had it. I assure you that if Japan could have retaliated with a nuclear attack, let's say, on San Francisco or Los Angeles, you better believe we're not shooting off a nuke. I'm telling you. This is all a huge dog and pony show. I'm not saying there's not going to be a skirmish or two. This is all a big pony show, ladies and gentlemen. Just to keep us off balance. Just to keep us away from really what's going to take down the United States and the Western Hemisphere if we do not stay vigilant and resist. So I'm going to go into this article that's over almost 3 years ago. Preventing a Paris-style attack is, in part, a numbers game. Americans don't seem to be paying attention. Well, one thing, though, is true. Fast-forwarding to nearing the end of 2017, we certainly are more aware. We're paying more attention, I believe, than we were 2 years ago, but only because terrorism has ramped up. It's not because, you know, and some of it, well, yeah, another factor is the growth of Alex Jones and other alt media. That is true. But by and large, it's not because the masses decided to do research. It's not because the masses decided to look into it. It's not because the masses decided to do a small podcast like me and forward articles on social media. That's not the reason. The reason is because terrorism over the last 2 years has become more noticeable and the mainstream media just cannot hide huge attacks in Britain, France, and Germany. They can't hide it. You can only do so much hiding. The truth always prevails. It could take a long time, it could take a short time, but the truth always prevails. It's true on every level, ladies and gentlemen. So we certainly are more aware, only because we're in a worse position than what we were in 2 years ago. A major Islamist terror attack in France was only a matter of time. And again, put your 2015 hats on. For several decades, the country has invited immigrants from the Middle East and North Africa en masse. First, to bolster the labor force in the rebuilding years that followed World War II. Then, out of multicultural impulses, that's the big one, that prevailed over prudential considerations, and that means using prudence or wisdom. That radical Islam, and I'm going to say it again, it's not radical Islam, that Orthodox Islam was transplanted to France, grew in strength and extent, and bore, well, at that time, this week's hideous fruit was not difficult to predict. No, it isn't. Because I've shared over the years, and I'll probably share again, a fantastic article called Islam in a Nutshell that gave a point-by-point breakdown of how terrorism and violence increases per the increase of Muslim population numbers. It again, it's natural law, folks. When you bring in, and I'm going to say it, and I don't care who doesn't like it, when you bring in a satanic, inbred, unassimilable, if that's the word, I'm trying to say assimilate, is it assimilable, the adjective, whatever, when you bring in the people that won't assimilate, can you please tell me how it's going to work out to the benefit of that nation? Please. It's like communism and socialism. Please show me one country where it actually worked. Some people like to throw in, well, everybody's happy in Denmark. Are they really? Have you been there? And maybe they are happy. You know what they say. Ignorance is bliss. They've never been a free libertarian, excuse me for the stuttering, libertarian nation. They've always been in a feudal socialist society. Always. So, you know, look, when you're born into captivity, you don't know any better. It's only when you get a glimpse of that freedom, only when, you know, you break out of the compound, and you get a little taste of the other side, do you never want to go back again? See, once you've been red-pilled, you don't want to take that blue pill, unlike Cypher, only because he was a bad guy. But you don't want to go back into that mirage. So the Danes don't know any better, but the Danes don't own houses. Half of the Danes don't own cars because of the oppressive taxation. They don't know what it's like to own an acre of land and just sprawl out. They don't know what it's like to play with your dogs outside and throw a ball and have fun. And you don't have to be super rich to do it. You could be quite ordinary. And I don't like to use the word ordinary when talking about human beings, but for this purpose, you could be financially ordinary and still enjoy the fruits of freedom and sovereignty in your own home. You can't do that in Denmark, but they don't know any better. They never had that taste. So perhaps that's true. Maybe psychologically, you know, maybe they are happier because they never knew any better. And maybe, yeah, you know, when you're born into freedom and sovereignty to a point, You know, me being 52, I know what the 80s were like. You can make love in the back seat of your car with a girl, and a cop isn't going to put you in handcuffs. You could pee your initials in the snow, and no one's going to put you in jail. You can have a little bit too much to drink, pull over on the side of the road, sleep it off. The cop will tap your window with his flashlight, and you can be honest with him. Officer, I've had a little bit too much to drink, and I want to sit it out. And back then, he would let you. He would say, well, I'm going to come back. No, I didn't do this personally. I didn't drive. You know, I've made some poor decisions a few times in my early years. Luckily, no ramifications. But I've known people that did this. And the cop would say, well, I'll come back in an hour and check on you. Don't be driving or I'll come look for you. So, you had those freedoms. You could work a relatively average wage or low wage job. You could still own a house. You could still own a decent car. You could buy designer jeans at a small boutique. Yep, men and women. You could buy designer jeans, get them hemmed and altered for free instead of shopping to Sears and Walmart. And so when you see the degradation of society and you see oppression on average American everyday citizens, you get upset. Can you suffer stress? Can you suffer... I don't want to say depression. Crap, I had the word anxiety over this. And can this trouble your mind? Yeah. Does freedom and sovereignty come with a price? You bet. It's responsibility, and it's to be ever vigilant and be mindful that there's always someone, whether it's a thief wanting to come to your house and take what you have, or it's the government that wants to invade every facet of your life and take for their own purposes. That is the price of freedom. Sure, in Denmark, you could have like 70% of your income taken. You can live in a small apartment. You could take the train or a bus. You could get so-called free health care. You could get so-called free education. But try moving up. Try aspiring to owning your own house. Not going to happen. But in a minimally intrusive federal government, that's why people come to America, not the other way around. When you have a less intrusive federal government, not standing on your throat, you don't have to be born into success. You can create your own. You can't do that in socialist countries. So, back to France, that they didn't use good wisdom. And they brought in fundamental Islam, and France, these migrants grew in strength and extent. And he says the same is easily predictable in Sweden, Belgium, Germany, and elsewhere. Isn't that interesting? This 2015 article happened before the Belgium terrorist attack, happened before really how it's really ramped up in Germany, and he did leave out Britain, but it was all before those huge attacks, all before, excuse me, San Bernardino, all before the nightclub incident in Orlando, all before the mass rapes in Sweden could no longer be contained from the ears and eyes of the world. Demographics may not be the whole of destiny, but they are certainly a good part, and across the Atlantic, the United States seems increasingly to be turning towards Western Europe's most undesirable demographic trends. Absolutely. Absolutely. Instead of going the way of Eastern Europe, Poland, and Hungary, who are resisting these trends, we're doing exactly what Western Europe is doing. Italy, Greece, France, Spain, you know the players. And we too are going to suffer the same results. Now, Donald Trump has done a great job on a really huge decrease in illegal immigrants coming over the southern border. That's going to help a lot. I just hope that it will be a really good deterrent on having these migrants come into the United States. In 1992, 41% of new residents in the United States, green card holders, hailed from the Asia-Pacific region, the Middle East, and North Africa, or Sub-Sahara Africa, according to the Pew Research Center. A decade later, 2002, the percentage was at 53%. I don't even know what the average is now, in present day. The number of Muslim migrants coming to the United States annually has doubled from 50,000 to approximately 100,000 each year. In 1992, only 5% of Muslim immigrants came from sub-Saharan Africa. That's Somalia and others. 20 years later, 16%, that's a little bit more than triple, of the 2.75 million Muslims in the United States in 2011, 1.7 million were legal permanent residents. There's no official estimate of Muslims in the U.S. Religious affiliation is not tracked by the Census Bureau, and that's a problem. Because Islam is a religion, dare I say, a satanic ideology. It is not a nationality. However, Pew's estimate of 2.75 million seems to be on the lower end. Well, that always happens, folks. You always get the lower end when you're doing these surveys. Just like when I give you when I've given you the daily roll call of terrorist attacks around the world. The website even says they don't catch them all. It's impossible. So you're always getting the lower numbers. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, another terrorist group, in my opinion, says there are approximately 7 million Muslims in the country. Well, that's of 2015. Wonder how many it is for 2017. Western Europe has opened the doors, and Germany especially, and terrorist attacks have greatly increased. And Chancellor Merkel is keeping those gates open. Whatever the exact level, it could hardly be considered surprising that as the Muslim population in the country has expanded, so has the incidence of radicalism. I like to say conversion to Orthodox Islam. The 1994 marathon bombers Tamerlan and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, born in the Soviet Union and Kyrgyzstan respectively, came to the U.S. as refugees in 2002. They were radicalized, I'm going to say, they were orthodoxed inside the country, the United States. Tamerlan reportedly at the Islamic Society of Boston Mosque in Cambridge. So, right in a mosque. So, they were radicalized inside the country. There's 17 minutes left. So, I want to segue into another article. Why is ISIS recruiting in America reached historic levels? There are 900 active investigations against ISIS sympathizers in all 50 states. Islamic State recruitment and mobilization in the United States is reaching unprecedented and historic levels. This is coming from theatlantic.com, again, December 6, 2015. It's not as big a problem here as it is in Europe yet, but ISIS is now reaching Americans at a faster pace than Al-Qaeda ever did. And, you know, people criticize Donald Trump because he wanted to close off certain ports of the internet and certain sites that harbored Islamic recruiters. People called that censorship. No, I call that due diligence. I call that protecting the general welfare of the country, which is what you're supposed to do. That's not putting everybody on welfare, is to sustain the country to the positive result for the people. That's what the general welfare meant. And what he wanted to do was not censorship. That was prudence. Freedom of speech, ladies and gentlemen, comes with a responsibility. It is not unbridled. It is not unchecked. If it was unchecked, can you imagine how many people would be in psych wards today due to verbal abuse? I mean, come on. You could just openly threaten and tear down anybody you wanted without reprisal. If the First Amendment meant you could just say and do anything you want in the guise of protecting free speech, that's not right. There are checks and balances. Freedom comes with responsibility. And you're supposed to use your freedom of speech with discernment. Sure, we all get upset and all, but, I mean, let's face it. Man cannot go unbridled. That's anarchy. So that's what the anarchists would lead you to believe. We don't need any laws. We don't need any government. We can just do it all by ourselves. Do you know how many times I've seen anarchists say, well, if someone comes on my property, I'll just shoot them? You know how many anarchists have arsenals in their homes? And believe me, folks, I am very pro Second Amendment. Don't get me wrong. But let's face it, if we didn't have consequences for abusing our amendments, where would we be? So Donald Trump was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct when he wanted to close off certain parts of the internet to have access into our country. He was absolutely correct. As of October 2015, law enforcement authorities knew of 250 Americans who had traveled or tried to travel to Syria or Iraq to join ISIS fighters. And there are about 900 active investigations against ISIS sympathizers in all 50 states. Americans who join ISIS or those who flirt with the idea come from all ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds. These alarming statistics were unveiled by analysts at the George Washington University Program on Extremism. The center spent the past 6 months monitoring ISIS supporters on social media and researching FBI court files. They found that Americans who join ISIS... I'm repeating because it was highlighted. People arrested this year in connection to the terrorist group include an African-American woman from Mississippi State University and a white man from suburban Cincinnati who recently converted to Islam. Most of them were groomed by ISIS supporters through social media networks such as Twitter and Instagram, according to the report. And many embraced the group's radical interpretation of Islam. No, again, the fundamental interpretation. We're supposed to deceive and then kill your enemy at their weakest point when you've got them comfortable. So many embraced the group's interpretation of Islam as a way to find belonging and a sense of personal identity. And don't we see a huge domestic conversion to Islam in our prisons? That's probably the biggest place of conversion in the United States is our prisons. Since March 2014, prosecutors have charged 71 people with ISIS-related activities in the United States. Charges include attempting to support a known terrorist organization to plotting deadly attacks on U.S. soil. Most of the attacks, 56 of them, took place in 2015. That is the largest number of terrorism-related arrests in 1 year since, well, September 2001. Shocking. The center analyzed case files for the 71 arrests and discovered that ISIS recruits are young. Their average age is 26. Gee, when we see clips and pictures up into 2017 of the so-called poor refugees flooding the gates of Europe, what's the average age, folks? Yeah, don't they look like 20-somethings and they're referred to as battle-ready? Here's another enlightening statistics. Most of them were men, 86%. Wow. Again, you look at the clips, look at the dominating gender, and look at the dominating age group. 20-something men. Half of those arrested traveled or tried to travel to Iraq or Syria. Gee. What does ISIS mean? Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. No coincidence, folks. About 27% were involved in plots to carry out attacks in the United States. Another article. Excuse me for the dead air. More terrorists are born in the United States than from countries included in Donald Trump's Muslim ban study finds. And it does correlate with the last article I gave you about recruitment. This is coming from The Independent, February 1st, 2017. While President Trump has been tweeting about the necessity of banning immigrants and refugees to stop an influx of bad dudes to the U.S., he might be shocked to learn that the highest number of domestic terrorist attacks in recent years were carried out by U.S. citizens. Imagine. Information from Terrorism in America after 9/11 found that 190 U.S.-born citizens have been charged with or died while carrying out jihadist terrorism since 2001. That number tops the list and far outstrips illegal immigrants, 8, and refugees, 12. The executive order signed Friday bans nearly all travelers from 7 countries: Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Iran, Somalia, Libya, and Yemen, for 90 days. While the U.S. Reviews the vetting procedure, which already at least 2 years, it's already as long 2 years long for Syria. Refugees will be suspended for 120 days, and Syrian refugees will be suspended indefinitely. Christians that are refugees fleeing persecution would be prioritized, and they should be, because as this Arab Spring took place, Christians lost their protection in several of these countries, and they're being killed and displaced on a daily basis. They've got no help. And Syria is like one of the last countries, if not the last country in that region, that has protected Christians under Assad. And now with ISIS being dominant, but they are losing, but Coptic Christians have taken a huge beating. But you see, this article supports what I've been saying all along. Yeah, absolutely. Ban people from coming into these countries until if we could ever ascertain their true identity, because they're given fake passports anyway. But the real problem is in America. The real problem is in the United States, folks. There are tiny Islamabergs all over the country, where basically they have many Islamic countries inside our borders. Police don't even go over there and check on them. They're what, and I played this clip a couple of months ago. We have no-go zones in the United States, and in the so-called rough and tough state of Texas, we have them here too. Matter of fact, the Muslim population is growing big time all over the state, and I'm seeing it myself in my part of the country, state rather. The problem lies within. And you can have 200 military bases, you can have 400 military bases. You can drop all the bombs you want. You can put all the boots on the ground you want. You could fly all the jets over stadiums all you want. And you can pound your chest with pride all you want. But ladies and gentlemen, the enemy is here. And Abraham Lincoln, who was a Federalist, who was a statist, and may I say, in that respect, a centralist, a federalist, a globalist, a communist, in the broad sense, he said it right. The United States will not fall from outside invasion. The United States will crumble from within. And it'll do that by a government turning its back on its people and using violent individuals to inflict fear and violence and terror. So that we become so desperate, we beg the government to roll in the tanks and to save us. If this trend continues, the American people will ask for martial law. They will ask, as Bill O'Reilly did on Fox more than a year ago, will ask the federal government to take over local and state law enforcement that can't handle the uprising. If this trend continues, Western Europe will look like the Middle East first, and then it will be our turn. This is what I have shared with you all week long. The biggest threat to this country, the biggest threat to our families, the biggest threat to everything we hold dear does not come from a foreign entity. It's not going to come from China. It's not going to come from Russia. It certainly isn't going to come from North Korea. No. It's going to come from a traitorous government. And President Trump, I believe, and I hope I'm wrong, I believe he's the last shot. And I believe that if they trip him up, either by impeachment or his first term is so bad that he loses in 2020 to a Democrat, it is ball game over. We held it off with Hillary Clinton, but we might not be so lucky in 2020. Now, these people coming from oppressive governments and all, coming from dirt poor environments, how did they get here? Someone has to finance them. Have to. And it's been said all along that the main culprit is George Soros. Documents show that George Soros' Open Society Foundations has spent $1.8 million to improve the image of Somalians, which really is an impossibility, in Europe, well, maybe there, and to combat Islamophobia. This comes from Breitbart, August 16th of last year. Newly leaked documents from the Open Society Foundation by site DC Leaks shows the organized web of funding that George Soros and Open Society have become infamous for. One particular report shows funding for an initiative to promote the image of Somalians in Europe who, according to the report, are in the top 10 most discriminated people on the continent because they're the most violent. They're the meanest. I've gotten eyewitness accounts from people that lived over in Britain. I've met them. They said the Somalis are the worst. Political and media coverage of Somalis was largely negative, focusing on piracy, terrorism, female FGM, which is female genital mutilation, and abuse of the welfare system, the report says. Well, yeah, they did. Somali men have garnered this image due to discrimination, according to the report. No. They've garnered that reputation through their actions. While piracy along the Horn of Africa is well known, Thomas Jefferson went through it. Thomas Jefferson, as President of the United States, got a rude awakening to real Islam when U.S. ships were attacked by Somali pirates. There have been many cases of Somalians being involved in sexual assaults on minors and people trafficking. Yeah, it's what they do. They're into pedophilia. They've always been, which is why the globalists love them, because they share the same philosophy. Other cases, including the murder of a Somalian man who posed as a minor and murdered asylum worker Alexandra Metzer earlier this year, have also generated negative press. Well, the Somali guy faked himself, posed as a minor, and then killed a guy. Killed a social worker. Do you think you're going to get negative press? I think so. The Somalian was able to avoid jail. Yeah, I bet. After a psychiatric report deemed him unfit for prison, and he was remanded into psychiatric care. Yeah, okay, right. Well, if we want to go by that premise, then every single Muslim jihadist is crazy, and none of them should go to jail. We should just put them in psych wards, feed them meds, and take care of these people. Because just subscribing to Islam is insanity in and of itself. It's Satanism. Fighting nature and being a liar, being oppressive to women, brutally killing people because they're different from you, is against nature. That is insanity. So, they're all insane by default. Open Society makes it clear that they are in favor of mass migration into Europe, writing, "The recent refugee crisis has been notable in its utter failure to understand that Europe is no longer a continent of emigration, but one where immigration has been a fact for the last 60 years. Well, again, that was explained. Number one, after the decimation of World War II, there was a massive depopulation, especially amongst the men. And so, yes, the French had to import people from North Africa to fill the seats where the French vacated. And, of course, the first wave of these people, they assimilated just fine. That's the game plan. That's what they do in the beginning. But then they build strongholds. And the bigger they get, the more turbulent the nation gets. I'm going to stop right here, ladies and gentlemen. We must understand that this is a spiritual battle. This is Jesus Christ versus Satan. The war is alive and well on this planet. And Satan's nuclear weapon is not a nuclear weapon. It's not so much bullets and bombs. It's a psychological war. It's an information war. It's true. It's a soft, grinding erosion of Western civilization. And we're seeing an increase in all of these attacks because over the last 60 years, as Breitbart points out, they've been growing and growing and growing. And it may not happen in our lifetime. Certainly not people 50 or more. I think it's very outside because they gave you the projections of 2050 and all that. But if this, we might see Europe in flames in the next 20 years. Perhaps. But America, it'll take a little longer. But without intervention, human or spiritual, the inevitability of a one-world government permanently has never, ever been so possible in our history because of one word, technology. Millions and millions are reached every single day with any type of agenda that the source feels compelled to distribute. Never had this before. It's no longer city to city, state to state, nation to nation. No. It is now done through the hologram of the internet. Technology has no borders. Technology has no lines. It is infinite. Never, ever before has the New World Order's Freemasons, Genesis 3:22 initiative have never been more possible than the times we are living in today. Genesis 3:22 was when God expelled man out of paradise and kept him from the tree of life so that we could not live forever and be like gods, like the God. And that is the goal of people like George Soros and maybe even people higher than him. They want to be the God. They want to be your everything. And I'm telling you this much right now. If Christianity were truly ever to fall in the United States, I tell you what, folks, all of you people, spiritual or not spiritual, that are not spreading the word of the Lord, and if Christianity falls, you people, all of you, are going to go down in a twinkling of an eye. All you people that bash Christianity and make fun of us, the target on your back by this one world government is just as big as the one on my back. And it's going to be so easy for you to be taken down because you're not paying attention. So my friends, be ever vigilant. Knowledge is power. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. Have a great weekend. See you back on Monday.